next 4 Sundays called A Season of Hope. And we're going to start in Isaiah chapter 40, one of my all-time favorite passages. And usually we just read the end about those who wait upon the Lord. But today we're actually going to work through the whole chapter. So I will try to move along rather quickly. And again, just if you would be in prayer, there may be, there's a lot going to come at you, but just pray the Lord will speak to you with what the part that you need to hear today, that you would be encouraged. Let's look together in Isaiah chapter 40, and we're actually going to start in verse 1. Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. All right, let's look in Isaiah chapter 40, and we're going to start, which is verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2. Isaiah writes, he says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. I don't know, did you hear a little bit today in what Megan read about the Israelites? They were crying out because they had been punished for their sins. They recognized that their sinfulness had put a barrier between them and the Lord, and they were asking the Lord to come back graciously and to not hold it against them forever, but to redeem them. Okay, and this is that same picture. This is the same author, right? Isaiah wrote chapter 40 here. He wrote chapter 64 that Megan read to us today. We are going into this time of year, a solemn season, and if you're familiar with the church calendar, as Baptists, we're not really too much into the church calendar as some other denominations might be. Maybe you've been familiar with Lent, you've heard of Lent and that kind of time of year prior to Easter. Well, this is a similar time that was to remind the church about the coming of Christ. It used to be a very solemn season, mostly a time of fasting and in prayer, but in the last couple hundred years, if you want to call that recent, there's been more elements of joy added to this season. And if you guys remember from last year, which candle is the joy candle? Not a tricky question. It's the pink one, right? Okay. And so on that third Sunday, because the church wanted to reinvigorate this element of joy into what we do, and a reminder of the season. Even in our class this morning, we were reminded that it is so much better to share with people that you love about why you love the Lord, why you love the church, than to nag them about coming to church, right? We want to be contagious with what the Lord has done for us. Again, I just remind you that there's nothing mystical or spiritual necessarily about the candles. They are symbols that help us to remember to keep Christ at the center of Christmas. And so on that Christmas Eve night, we will have a white candle that we'll put up here. That'll be a reminder that Christ has come and that he is coming. Today's message, as you saw in verse 1, is about comfort. Me a little audience participation this morning so that I can keep you guys awake, okay? What are some things that, when are some times that you needed comfort? What has been at work in your life sometimes where you really sought out or appreciated comfort? What were some circumstances that might drive us to comfort? Okay. Yes. All right, so when there is suffering going on, or especially with someone that we love, that is sometimes even harder than if we go through it ourselves, isn't it, right? And there we needed some comfort. Good. Michael. All right, so there is just physical comfort too, right? Good. What else? When else have you needed comfort? Donna? During the... deaths. Okay, yeah. Whenever someone passes away, we need comfort, right? And then so how do we receive comfort? Like specifically in Donna's instance, what are some things that when someone passes away, how do we find comfort during those times? How have you found comfort during those times? All right, a fellowship with your believers in Christ. Anything else?
Prayer.
Just solace of prayer can really be comforting. Good. Anything else?
Faith service, people taking care of
Yeah, someone else coming in, you find comfort in someone showing their love to you. Amen.
Reading of the Word.
Oh man, definitely, right? The Scriptures can bring comfort and consolation. Isaiah, again, I remind you this over and over. Isaiah is writing this about 700 years before Christ comes, okay? And all these things are going to apply to the Messiah and that he does come. We have a lot of scary things going on right now these days, right? I'm not really trying to scare you, over scare you. I hate for you to come to church and be anxious when you leave, and hopefully you won't be. But we think and talk about things like North Korea, and we saw Christian persecution. Again, I read that every day, and my heart is troubled almost every day to think that I have brothers and sisters and what they're facing. Obviously, terrorism and even economic distress, right? There's always kind of this uncertainty. There's a lot of scary situations. And in that, we look for comfort. This is a little funny story about a boy that was looking for comfort. I thought was pretty good. It's from Kathy Gunter. It says, my 3-year-old cousin Mark accidentally spilled his fruit punch on the floor one day. He decided to clean up the mess himself, and he dashed back to the porch to get the mop. Suddenly realizing it was dark outside, he became apprehensive about reaching out the door for the mop. His mom reminded him, Jesus is everywhere, even in the dark. And Mark thought for a minute. Then putting his face to the door, he said, Jesus, if you're out there, will you hand me the mop? It can be a scary world sometimes, right? And again, each of us probably have our own fears in our own personal life too, don't we? About our own children, or our own job situation, or our own health needs, okay? Here's what I want to do. I want to bring to you every Sunday. This is a good time to, a year to come to church. For the next 4 Sundays, we want to look at hope each and every Sunday, okay? You have a reason to rejoice, a reason to have hope. And today, specifically, that hope brings us comfort. So let's work our way through Isaiah chapter 40, and hopefully you can find some comfort through Isaiah's writings here today. Let's go back to verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now again, I love what she read today is a reminder of this, okay? The people of Israel, they're going to be split up. We talk about this a lot. In 722 B.C., the Assyrians come from the north. They conquer the northern tribes of Israel, those 10 tribes, and they take them away, and they're led captive, and they will endure suffering at the hands of the Assyrians. You're probably familiar with the story of Jonah, right, and the big whale, okay? Jonah is actually going to the Assyrians to proclaim their destruction, to proclaim that God is bringing judgment. And that's why Jonah gets so mad, because he knows God's a forgiving God and he's going to forgive these Assyrians after they've done all these atrocities to Jonah's people, okay? And so you see what you see here very literally. You see God's people being punished, and I should say actually being disciplined for their sins, because God's role in that was to draw them back to him, okay? In 586 B.C. is another big time frame, and that's where you're going to see the Babylonians are going to come in, and they're going to come down to the southern tribes, to Judah, right, to Benjamin. They're going to come down there, and you're going to remember a guy by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, okay? remember Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, okay? That's that time frame. The same thing happens. Those Hebrew boys and Daniel, they get taken from their homeland, and they're put into a foreign land. So it'll be kind of like if, let's say, China took us over. They take Casey away, and Casey gets thrown into government over there. They find out how sharp Casey is. She's really smart. She makes her way up the government. She has an influential position. And then we write a story about it. That is what happened with Daniel, okay? And again, God's people, over and over, they were warned, right? They were warned. And what you're going to see here, it's kind of interesting that Isaiah is kind of in between these two things, okay? He's seen the Assyrian captivity already kind of come to pass, and yet he hasn't seen yet what's going to happen, but he knows what's going to come because the Lord reveals to him what's going to happen to those southern tribes. And in all of this, here's this truth, this reminder that after all these things happen, that God is going to redeem, he's going to reconcile, he's going to bring comfort to his people. So here's the message very simply today. If you have anxiety in your life, if you have fears, if you have worries about your family, your finances, your health, if you put our focus where it needs to be, which is on the Lord, He will give you comfort. Okay? That's a very simple message, all right? You've got a hold of that. Hang on to that today as we work through this passage. All right. Again, God does punish sin. There's a time when sin will be paid for. But thank the Lord, as we've seen today, we've sang today, we've celebrated at the Lord's table today, that Jesus paid for our sin. And so we can bring that comforting message to others today, right? And that's the message here. The herald goes out, comfort ye, my people, right? Go tell people they can be forgiven, they can find hope, they can feel love because Jesus has died and rose again. That is our message. That is the gospel. And Isaiah is proclaiming it here in forthtelling something that's going to come to pass many, many years later. Look in verse 3. And so Isaiah writes, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Verse 4, every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall be level, the rugged places plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Oh man, have any of you guys ever, do you know Handel's Messiah? Anybody ever heard Handel's Messiah? Boy, you guys are an uneducated crowd today. I was too, by the way. I grew up in a blue-collar town in Decatur, Illinois, big factory town. We didn't have a whole lot of culture most of the time. When I went to college, we learned this thing called Handel's Messiah. You probably have heard the Hallelujah chorus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, right? That probably is familiar. Well, Handel's Messiah is this great big opus of music. And the very first song that is normally sang from Handel's Messiah is Isaiah chapter 40 in verses 3 through 5. Okay, and so when I see this now, it's like, oh, that's the scripture, right? What is going on here? What is happening here? This is a prophecy, again, that will be fulfilled by who? Do you guys know? Yes, a guy that wore camel's hair, right? Would you kind of imagine this guy coming into the normal civilized world? He had his camel's hair, he had his leather belt on. He ate locusts. All right. Now, my son ate termites this last summer, so maybe he could do locusts. I don't know, right? But John the Baptist ate locusts and wild honey. I could just imagine that he looks like a mountain man in my mind, okay? I don't know if he was one or not, but that's kind of how I envision him, okay? In John, the book of John, chapter 1, this is not written by John the Baptist, but by John, the disciple of the Lord. John 1:23, listen to the scripture here. They were asking John who he was, and John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of the one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. Isn't this powerful? This is so cool, isn't it? How the Lord is revealing himself and it's coming to pass. Every valley, what's going to happen to all the valleys? They're going to be lifted up. What's going to happen to the mountains? They're going to be made low. Why is that? All the rough and the crooked places are going to be made plain. John is going to level the way. He's going to make the path. He's going to prepare the way for the Lord to come and for people to hear the gospel. John is the fulfillment of the words of Isaiah. And again, if you guys love prophecy, this is such a clear picture. Jesus fulfills over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament. And so this is part of that thing all coming to pass that the Lord spoke so clearly to Isaiah. And here John's going to be that one who's preparing the way. And you guys know John's message, right? Repent. Now, in some respects today, we should be much like a John the Baptist. Now, you don't have to go out and get your camel's hair and eat your wild honey today, okay? We need to prepare the way of the Lord. Sometimes there are valleys and there are mountains that are in the way of people coming and hearing the gospel. Can you think of any of those today, right? Sometimes there are obstacles for people hearing. And Brother Rick kind of already mentioned it. I think sometimes for people to be comforted, one of the things they need to see is love and service of someone first. It's nice for you to come and tell me the truth of the gospel, but when you really have credibility with me is that if I am hurting and you come meet a need where I am hurting, then all of a sudden I know that you have love for me, and then as you speak, guess what? I'm much more receptive to what you have to say. The valleys being raised up, the mountains being lowered, the crooked places being made straight, and the rough places plain. Today I would kind of have you think about that a little bit. Where do I need to go, and what do I need to do to help be John the Baptist in my setting for people to come and hear the word of the Lord? Again, the mouth of the Lord has spoken this, and when he speaks, it is definitely going to happen. Let's look down at verse 6. Again, Isaiah writes, a voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All the people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. Verse 7, their grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. And now look at verse 8. The grass withers and the flowers fall or fade. But the word of our God, what does it do? It stands, it endures, it lasts forever. What's the prophet say to cry out? This is kind of, again, a little bit of a somberness here. Isaiah says, I want to remind you who you are, and I want to remind you who God is. What do you guys know about grass, other than you don't like to cut it? Right? Doesn't last long, does it, right? Comes, it goes, it comes, it goes. You cut it, and it's over, right? You can blow it like chaff, and it moves away. It's here, and it's gone. It just keeps recycling. People are like that, is what Isaiah says. And here's kind of it's almost a sad thing, but it is very true. The faithfulness of people are like that. Right? Can I kind of be cautiously speak to you here this morning, even from a leader's perspective? Okay? I love you guys, and I'm doing my best to pursue the Lord. But I'm going to tell you that sometime I will fail you. That's just how it is. I'm a sinful person too. Hopefully, with the Lord's grace, I will repent and I will get back up and I'll go back to do what I know is right, okay? But human beings, that's what's going to happen. That's the faithfulness of human beings. And so thankful, we are so thankful when people love and when they're loyal, when they're faithful to us. But if you are over time, there's a pretty good chance that someone that you love is probably going to let you down somewhere along the way. But what will never let you down? The Lord will not let you down. His word endures forever. It stands true forever. And so what Isaiah says, I want to give you comfort today, not in a king. I don't want to give you comfort in a prophet. I don't want to give you comfort in a priest. I want to give you comfort in a God who loves you. And I want you to know who this God is. And this passage is amazing as it reveals about the character of our Lord. All right, look at verse 9. He says, you who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. Oh, I love that. Verse 10. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Now, do you catch that? You kind of hear it in my voice. Can you see what Isaiah is telling them? All right, those of you who are the news deliverers, you're the messenger, right? We always say, don't shoot the messenger, and that's kind of how we frame that up. What does Isaiah here say about the messenger? Where do you go? Go up on the high mountain. Why get up on the high mountain? So hopefully the most people can hear it, right? And when you get up on the high mountain, what are you to do? Lift up your voice with a shout, and again, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, what do you say to them? Here is your God. And hopefully you don't say it like that. Can you bear with me a minute this morning? I'm afraid sometimes in our places of work, in our families, even in our neighborhoods, we don't quite go up the mountain. We kind of go to the little side cove. And we don't lift it up with a shout. We just kind of say it out. I love the Lord. Right? But I want to challenge you today, at the Lord's leading, again, not on your own leading, at the Spirit's leading, that you would be full of God's joy, and at the right opportunity, that you would be able to shout it in your spirit, and it would be evident to those around you that here is our God, And as we celebrate this year, his name is Emmanuel, God is with us, right? What a great opportunity in the next month for you to share the gospel with people that are in your world. Here is our God. Where is he? He's helping at Servant's Heart. Here is our God. Where is he? He's in the jail helping those guys find redemption and find purpose. Where is our God? Here he is. He's in the nursing home helping someone who's been so alone, and another person comes alongside them and loves them and prays for them and takes care of their needs. Oh, please, please, let the Lord be at work in your heart this time of year that you can go and proclaim, here is our God. Now, normally we think about this picture of him being this mighty warrior and this strong, the strong right arm of the Lord. But how does Isaiah lay him out? After he does in verse 10, he said, the Lord comes with power. He rules with his mighty arm. And yet, in verse 11, what does he describe him as? A gentle shepherd. Isn't that just this unbelievable picture? That the God that we love, who is so strong, that he's the king of all kings, that you're going to see some things here in a minute about his character, that he has breathed out everything that's come to pass, and yet those that he loves, he cares for as a gentle shepherd. He cares for them tenderly. I'm afraid too many people in our world think that God carries lightning bolts, that he's out to get them. He's out to strike them down. He's out to tell them what's wrong with them. And here's a great reminder. Again, go shout it on the mountains. Here is our God. And he is a gentle shepherd. Wow. That's a great picture. That's a picture of Jesus today, okay? He loves you. I can't even begin to express how much the Lord loves you. The scripture says he carries his recompense with him, okay? And recompense usually is this idea, this word that is after you have suffered, after you have been in pain or in hurt, someone brings and kind of makes up for what you have been in. That's the picture of Jesus here. After you've been through the hurting, maybe it was divorce, maybe it was overcoming drugs, maybe it was overcoming some other problem, maybe it was another health issue that you went through, it was very difficult, the Lord is bringing his recompense with him. He is bringing what is going to come back and make things right. There's plenty of injustice in our world today, isn't there? Right? But here's this truth, when Christ comes, he is going to make everything right. Justice is coming. It is coming, okay? All right, again, this picture of a gentle shepherd who loves us. Now, look down at verse 12. We're going to do a lot of reading here, verse 12 through 20. And what I want you to catch here is the picture of this God who can bring us comfort. Look in verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Verse 16, Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. With whom then will you compare God? To what image would you liken him? As for an idol, a metal worker casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A person too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. They look for a skilled worker to set up an idol that will not topple. You got to, again, recognize who Isaiah is speaking here to. Okay, he's speaking to an idolatrous people. Again, people that are making their way away from the Lord, their God. And so he reminds them, who is this person that is bringing comfort? What does he start with in verse 12? Get these pictures. I just want to make sure you're following along. How many of you would like to have a hand big enough that you could lift up the Atlantic Ocean and make sure there was just enough water, and then you would pour it out? Can you imagine? That's this picture here, verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Have you ever marked off things with your hands before? Right? So maybe this is 8 inches or so, and so you go like, this is 8, and that's 16, right? What does Isaiah say? What is God measuring? with the breath of his hand. The heavens. Oh, I think I'm going to put Mars about a hand length away from Earth. Do you understand that idea? Your God is so amazing and so large and so vast and so powerful that he can mark off the heavens with the breath of his hand. Do you think he cannot comfort you if you need comfort? Woo! That's good, people. That's the Lord that we serve. That's what he is bringing out here in this picture. He goes on and he says, who has held the dust of the earth in a basket? Or has weighed the mountains, right? Could you imagine kind of picking up Kilimanjaro and saying, it's a little too light. I need a little more dust here. That's the power and the strength and the magnitude and the magnificence of your God. Who can instruct him? Who can teach him, right? He's from beginning. There's no one that teaches the Lord. He's the one who teaches everyone else. Who can enlighten him? Who taught him the right way? Again, it's he who has all knowledge. And I love verse 15. You're probably familiar with this phrase, and you maybe didn't know that it came from the Bible, did you? Surely the nations are what? A little white water dropper, and I have a bucket up here. Boop, there's Russia. Boop, there's Brazil. Boop, there's the United States of America. The nations are a drop in a bucket. I don't know if the Lord can handle my problems. Do you know how bad they are? That sounds so silly when you compare it like that, right? And yet, be comforted today that the same God that knows the nations are little drops in a bucket, he knows you by name, he knows the hairs on your head, he sent his son to die on your behalf, and he lives again, and he is interested in you like a tender shepherd to bring comfort to your life. Praise the Lord, right? That is the picture of our God. And he goes on, he's like, verse 16, Lebanon is not sufficient for the altar fires. What's Lebanon? Why is that significant? You ever heard of the cedars of Lebanon? It'd be like, where is the biggest forest in the United States? And saying, there's not enough wood in that forest to make all the altars that should be offered to our God. That's what he's saying. Lebanon is not sufficient for the altar fires, or enough animals for burnt offerings. All the nations before him, there is nothing. Who will you compare God? And then he goes on to his people. You kind of hear what he's saying? And so what are you doing? You're going to make an idol? You're going to have a metal worker going to fashion some gold over that idol, maybe some silver chains? Have you lost your mind? How would you compare the one who has holds the oceans in his hand to a little piece of wood that maybe gets layered over with some silver or some gold? There's no comparison, the greatness of God. Look down at verse 21. Do you not know, Isaiah says, have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of the world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. Verse 25. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes, verse 26, and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He brings out the starry host one by one. He calls forth each one of them by name because of his great power and his mighty strength. Not one of them is missing. Hear this refrain. You're going to hear it again in just a minute. Do you not know? Don't you know? Have you not heard? Haven't you heard? Hasn't it been told to you at the beginning? Haven't you heard since the earth was founded? God is the one who sits up. Have you ever got to be in an airplane? Most of you have flown probably at some time, right? As you're first going up, isn't it interesting how everything just gets smaller and smaller? And for some reason, in my mind, I always think of when I was a little kid, I would take these little Mattel or Matchbox cars, and I'd make these little cities. And that's how when you get up, you're like, oh, it kind of looks like that. And the higher you go up, the little people, what do they look like, right? Yeah. That is, in some respects, God's view of things. Okay. And again, before airplanes are ever invented here, Isaiah is writing this type of idea that God views and sees people like that. What does he say about the princes and the rulers? As you get older, you kind of learn these things, right? You'll see someone that, like even this morning, Wendy and I were talking about, we really like Harry Connick Jr. He's like a jazz player. We like his Christmas music. And we were saying today, boy, he's kind of old. And guess what? What does that mean about us? Right, we're old too, right? And here's the thing, this truth. What do we see about the kingdoms of the world? The rulers rise up, don't they? But then it's not very long, and what happens? The Lord blows on them, and the kingdoms are going to come and go, people. And as much as I love our great country, this kingdom too is going to come and go. But what kingdom will endure forever? The kingdom of our God. And that's the kingdom we celebrate even today. Find comfort in that. You're part of that kingdom. It's a kingdom that has no end. And it's directed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Be comforted. All this to be comforted today. Again, he says that he builds it like a tent, if you will. He stretches out the heavens like a tent. And then I love this picture in verse 26. What does he say there? He says, lift up your eyes, look at the stars, right? And again, here in Indianapolis, it's not as easy to do this, huh? Well, some of you, have you ever been out, got to go camping and look up in the night? I know Michael has done that. Probably you guys have got to do that too, right? Isaiah and I, it's one of our favorite things. With Uncle Tim, Wendy's uncle, that way he would take us out, and he would start showing us all the things with the stars. Again, what does Isaiah say here? None of these are missing because of the Lord's strength. They're all put together. He knows them all by name. Again, we could go on and on and on about the character of our God. That's what Isaiah is laying out here today. But look in verse 27. And this is where Isaiah is going to hit home and kind of tie it all together for these people. Why do you complain, Jacob? He's not just speaking to Jacob as a person, right? Jacob is Israel, okay? All of Israel. Again, Isaiah prophesying to his people. Why are you complaining? Why do you say my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Have you ever felt that way? Come on, right? Lord, where are you? I needed you. Why didn't you show up? Why don't you know what's going on in my life? And again, Israel here has been, some of them have been worshiping idols, so there's probably some correlation, right? And if we are not to be too careful in our own life, we might find out that sometimes when the Lord seems distant, it may be somewhat because we aren't pursuing him, correct? Why do you complain, O Israel? Why do you say my way is hidden from the God? Look again in verse 28. Again, don't you know? Do you not know? Have you not heard? Haven't you heard? What do I know about the Lord? He is the everlasting God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has not changed. If you're looking for comfort, remember that. God isn't the one who stepped away. He is the everlasting God. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't grow tired or weary. Lord, did you fall asleep? Have you not heard me? The Lord doesn't get tired. Aren't you glad that you can come to your God at any time? Have you ever really thought about that in some respects? Isn't it amazing? And again, the reality and the truth of the Spirit of God, that he can hear a prayer request of his church, of probably a billion or maybe 2 billion people that are alive right now in the church, and he can hear those requests and organize those things and guide and direct and touch in our own specific lives. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't grow tired or weary. And then what I love, again, into verse 28, his understanding no one can fathom. I always think of this two ways. One, the first one, obviously, is that nobody knows the mind of the Lord, right? His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, right? Okay. And yet, here's another way. Have you ever had someone understand you? You know what I'm saying? They just get you. Don't you love that feeling? When someone can really empathize with you, and they know you're hurt, and you can release that hurt to them, and then it becomes a shared burden. Now, this is complete penology here, but I want you to think about that just for a second. No one can fathom his understanding. I want to go back to that gentle and that tender shepherd, right? You guys, he knows, right? Our Lord himself, Jesus, the scripture says, the writer in Hebrews says in chapter 4, right, verses 14 through 16, that he knows, he is our high priest. He knows what we've been through, and yet he did all the things that we face. He faced them without sin. And if we would come for him with confidence, with boldness, that we would find mercy and grace in our time of need. And this is our God, right? No one can fathom his understanding. Again, verse 29, and if you need comfort today, this is an incredible verse, and I know you've probably heard it many times. He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Anybody testify to that? Right? Even today, probably some of you getting up are like, I don't feel good, or I'm exhausted, or I don't even know, and then something happens and the Lord speaks to your heart. When I was in Sunday school, and again, how the Lord works things out, like there was a little snafu with getting our literature, and I go in my office, and then there you go, boom, it was the lesson for communion, and I go in there and I'm completely refreshed when I think about what the Lord did for me. All right? He does increase the power of the weak. And of course, our famous verses 30 and 31, even young men, even youths grow tired, weary, and young men stumble and fall. Now, the two young men we saw here today, it's kind of hard to believe that, right? They got so much energy. And yet, if you would go to Michael's house sometime later day, you'll see those two boys crash somewhere, right? Yes. Even those, all that energy eventually runs out. But 31, but those who wait or those who hope in the Lord, what do? They renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people. Amen? Yeah. The best thing to do is to see the Lord for who he is and then take comfort in that and then use that as you serve others so that you can comfort them even as you have been comforted. By the way, that's biblical from, I think, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. All right. Today we do have a hope. I want to give you this one little short illustration here as we close it up and tie these things together. And again, remind us today, hopefully, that you can give comfort even as you are comforted. This is from Our Daily Bread from 1992. During the 30 Years' War in the 17th century, a German pastor, Paul Gerhardt, and his family were forced to flee from their home. So think of these refugees in this picture here. One night as they stayed in a small village inn, homeless and afraid, his wife broke down and she cried openly in despair. To comfort her, Gerhardt reminded her of scripture promises about God's provision and his keeping. Then going out to the garden to be alone, he too broke down and wept. He felt he had come to his darkest hour. And soon afterward, Gerhardt felt the burden lifted, and he sensed anew the Lord's presence. And so taking his pen, he wrote a hymn that has brought comfort to many. Here are the words here. Give to the winds thy fears, hope, and be undismayed. God hears thy sighs, and he counts thy tears. God shall lift up thy head. Through waves and clouds and storms, he gently clears the way. Wait thou his time, so shall the night soon end in joyous day. My brother Tyler, when he lost his 3-month-old son, he wrote a whole essay about how God counts our tears and puts them in a bottle. I believe that's from a psalm. And you think of this truth here, that though the waves and the clouds and the storms, he gently clears the way, that gentle shepherd. Wait for his time. Soon the night will end in joyous day. Comfort ye, my people. Amen? Amen. Let's stand this morning. I'm just going to go play softly again today. I don't know what your needs are this morning. Maybe you need comfort. And I would just so encourage you, anybody in this room would be glad for you if you grab them by the hand just to come to an altar and to pray together and ask them just to pray with you. I'm sure they would do that. You can do it right where you're sitting if you like today. If you need the Lord's comfort, seek the Lord. Reach out to him. And then today, if the Lord has comforted you and you've been, your strength has been renewed, maybe there's someone on your heart today that the Lord is challenging you that you need to show mercy to, or you need to show comfort to yourself. Someone that you need to go up on the mountain and lift up your voice and share that our God is here. And so if you need to pray about that today for the right opportunity, for the Lord to open the right doors this week that you could love and serve that person, that they would know his comfort, I wish you would take some time to do that. So let's pray together, and then in just a minute we'll wrap up our morning service.